Let's pray. So, Father, right now I pray your blessing upon this message, this teaching. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that we would become stronger as we read your word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, Matthew 28, the resurrection. I'm going to begin reading. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him and they clasped his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me." And while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You're to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while he were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." And so the soldiers took the money, and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. And then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." As I read this, what I'm struck by is the fact that in all four Gospels, as they encounter Jesus Christ risen from the dead, in all four Gospels, they were given an instruction to now go share it with other people. And we who are believers in Jesus Christ, who have our faith that he is risen from the dead, we have the privilege and the responsibility of sharing our faith with others. It's called the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations. And someone has said that if you don't fulfill the Great Commission, you are guilty of the Great Omission. You are not doing what God asked you to do. We have such good evidence of the resurrection. And it's interesting that all four Gospels are a little bit different, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so some people say, they contradict, but they really don't. They're like four people that saw an event reporting it, each standing in a different position. And one saw this, and one saw this. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John all record the resurrection. And the early apostles believed it so much that they were willing to die for it. So if it had just been some scheme or some hoax, why would you die for that? Jesus had, in fact, seen him risen from the dead, and so they were willing to die a martyr's death. And so the resurrection of Christ was seen on 12 different occasions, on one occasion by 500 people by the Sea of Galilee. I like it in the book of Acts where Paul said, "Why should you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?" He was standing before the different kings, Felix, Festus, and he was in front of King Agrippa, and he said, "Why should you think it's incredible that God would raise the dead? If God can create the universe, and we can look around and see his creation, if in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, why can and he controls the power of life and death, he creates life, why can he not raise his son from the dead?" He did so, and God is revealed in Christ. We know that the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. There is a God, and he's not Buddha or Hare Krishna or Muhammad. His name is Jesus. And there's no other name under heaven given to men through which we must be saved. And what's fascinating to me is if you go from any of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, go to the last chapter, read the resurrection, and then in every chapter, there's something you're supposed to do. See, here is go and make disciples. Mark is going to tell us, Mark says, go preach to all creation. Okay? Luke says, wait till you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you're gonna share this. And they open their minds to understand the scripture. As God opens our mind and we understand the scripture, as he fills us with the Holy Spirit, we're ready. We're ready to do what he said. The great commission to go, to preach to all creation. And in John, he told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed my sheep. All the resurrection stories don't just say, oh, isn't that wonderful? It's like, go share it. Now, what does the resurrection mean? Well, we know it means, first of all, that we're forgiven. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That God was in Christ, it says, reconciling the world to himself. But in that same chapter, it says, since we know what it is to fear God, we seek to persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Since we know what it is to fear God, we seek to persuade men. You see, the thing about the Christian life, this may seem like an unusual Easter message to go tell you to all go be missionaries, but I'm telling you that right now. That is my message. Is that Jesus, well, first thing he said is, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, I will make you. You go, Pastor, we're in social distancing, we're isolated, we're sheltering in place. How can we do that? Well, evidently most of you have a computer or a telephone. You have the ability to still communicate your faith with other people. And we are going to have some incredible opportunities as we begin to come out of this virus, as we begin to socially re-engage. I don't know what it's going to look like. It's going to be maybe a very different world even. The economic fallout is still uncertain. There's no question that this has hit the poor worse than the rich. People that have their paycheck day to day are the ones that really got hit. Some can still make a living working online. But those who are poor are in food lines. We need to have compassion for them. But whether rich or poor, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. And this is a time when souls are going to be open. God is preparing the harvest field. And it's not 3 months and then the harvest, it's now. And I don't know what part I'm going to have. I don't know what part CIF is going to have. But we have a part in what God is doing. There's something that we are to do. Even if you're a senior citizen like me, I'm still breathing. And you got to use whatever gift you have and whatever time you have, whatever gift you have and whatever time you have, for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, James says, faith without works is dead. God calls us to be holy, yes. He calls us to practice hospitality. There's a lot of commandments in the Word. But I would suggest to you that one of the overriding commandments is just simply follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we don't do it out of guilt. We do it because we want to, because he's risen. But the women had seen him and they ran to tell the disciples, we've seen him. He's risen. He's risen. Christ is risen. And we have that the message, the gospel message. You know, that word gospel is good news. Okay, the word God, good, comes from the English word God. God is good. Good news. And so when you say gospel, you're just saying good news. What is the good news? The good news is the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, I want to remind you of the gospel. You know, one thing about the Bible, it always reminds us of the basic things. There's nothing wrong with being reminded. And it says Christ died, he rose on the third day. So if you go from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, church, and you go into Acts chapter 1, where they're waiting, the Holy Spirit comes on them on the day of Pentecost. They speak in tongues. It looks like tongues of fire. And immediately, Peter in Acts chapter 2 gives a sermon in which he says, the Holy One will not see decay. And he quotes Psalm 16, your Holy One will not see decay. And it wasn't referring to David, it was referring to Jesus. And he preaches the resurrection. And, you know, you put him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead. And this becomes the theme of the book of Acts. What is the message they're preaching? They're preaching the resurrection. There's one sermon in Acts 13 where Paul's in Pisidian Antioch, and he mentions raised from the dead five times. In one sermon, raised from the dead, raised from the dead. Let us remember what we share with people to include the resurrection. The cross, yes, he died for your sins, but don't leave it at that. Don't just leave it, okay, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead. When I go into the Jesus Center, I can't do it right now because of the coronavirus, but I go down there every day for 6-7 years since I've lived in Chico. I'll go down after breakfast, and while they're still eating, I say, there's going to be a Bible study right after breakfast. I want you to know this morning that God loves you, that Jesus died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And if you will believe in him, he will give you eternal life. Now, how long did that take me to say that? That's pretty fast. The gospel is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is evidence of the truth of the Bible. Take away the resurrection, and Paul said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we're to be pitied more than all men. If he didn't rise, then what are we doing? Why are we online right now? What are we talking about? We should be eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But there is a resurrection, and if Christ rose, we will rise. It's a fact of Scripture. It's the very central message of this book is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus conquered the grave so that we could be adopted as sons and daughters into his family. Oh, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God has prepared a city for his people. He's prepared a mansion for his people. And he's accepted you on the basis of your faith in Christ, that you crossed over from death to life and you will not be condemned. You've been washed in the blood because of your faith. And he does not impute sin to you anymore. He doesn't keep a record of your sins and lawless acts anymore. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. All things are made new. That's us, beloved. I got saved when I was 26, and I'm sitting here all these years later, and it's God's faithfulness. I struggle with sin, so do you. I struggle with my flesh, so do you. But God has remained ever faithful. He who has begun this good work in us, he's going to finish it because he really does love us. Something really did happen inside of us, didn't it? We were born again. Isn't that radical? There used to be a group in my age, I remember it, called Santana. And Leon Patillo got saved in the first song out of Santana, one of the lead guys in the band, pretty popular band. And the first song he wrote was Born Again. It was Born Again. We've been born again. You know, when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit from above. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. I believe in you. God gives you new birth. And he begins like a seed is put inside of you, the living and enduring word of God. And you're never the same. You've been changed by the word of God. Christ in you, the Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing the things to come. So we've been set free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We have been freed from sin. We are God's children. We are accepted. We are holy and sanctified. We are his sons and daughters. We are brothers and sisters together. I'm looking to see if everybody's still there. The screen froze, but I guess we're okay. Are you still hear me? Someone? Wave. For some reason, they're not moving, Janet. Does it matter?
I don't know. We can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay, then I'll keep going. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Excuse me, we apologize. Please turn off all cell phones. I'll fault my wife for that one. Okay, so God bless you. The Lord Jesus loves you so much. So we see in Matthew 28, to go back to the text, that, let me close the door, hang on. Sorry, you guys, interference. It happens even at home. We who are born again are being given the great commission that we are to share our faith with other people. And we're to take this good news. We've been set free. We are forgiven. We are chosen. And we will live forever. And so this is the hope that we have. So go and make disciples of all nations. When I was born again, God called me into the ministry. I pastored in Fallbrook, San Diego County, and in Everett, Washington. I got a letter. I ended up going to the Philippines. 13 years I was in the Philippines as a missionary with Janet. And my three little children grew up there. And then we adopted a fourth child. So 13 years, I thought, well, this was just so tiring. And the Filipino heat is so bad. And the cockroaches are so big. And we were robbed. And we were embattled. And we were struggled. And, you know, the church was never very big. But we did what we felt God told us to do. Now I can go there years later, and I can see that God did a wonderful work. This little church called Calvary Chapel of Manila multiplied. They sent other pastors out, up throughout north and south throughout the island. Our labor is not in vain. We are called to be missionaries. And then I come back to the United States, and God wants me to pastor in Big Bear, California. What a joy. And then I've got in the Laughlin Desert. I don't know what I'm doing. I get stuck. And then, boom, he opens a church up in Monterey, and I pastor Calvary Chapel in Monterey. And then I'm back in the Laughlin Desert stuck. And then I come to Chico. And for 5 years, he has me at this strange little church called Asian Christian Fellowship, which becomes Christ International Fellowship. And whether it's at the Jesus Center or whether it's to a neighbor up the street, we are to share our faith. I remember, I told you, I think, being at a beach resort in Baja with my wife. That sounds pretty good right now. And we were there, and I was going out for my morning walk early in the morning to walk on the beautiful beach, very beautiful beach. And there was a woman there. It turns out her name was Greta. And somehow we got into a conversation about how short life was. And I said, yeah, that's why you need to make a reservation for the next life. She said, how do you do that? And they said, you ask Jesus to come into your life. And he takes your sins away. He'll give you eternal life. You see, we have the words of life. Just be ready. A person asks you a simple question like that. And just be ready to share the good news that Jesus Christ offers us eternal life. We'll turn over to the next gospel of Mark. I want to read a little bit from each one. I won't be long. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark's gospel has ending is a little bit stranger. Beginning in chapter 16 of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. I've always been struck that the angel was a young man. God has some young angels, apparently. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And when Jesus rose, and this is, forget the thing about manuscripts, this is reliable. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form, the two of them, while they were walking on in the country. That would be the Emmaus Road thing. They returned still and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and for their stubborn refusal to believe those who had been seen him after he had been risen. And he said to them, and this is the part I like, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will lay their hands on sick people, and they will get well. And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So here we see in Mark's gospel, it's different. It's a different account, certainly, where there Jesus tells them, and I want to emphasize this part, he tells them to go and preach to all creation. Go preach everywhere. Matthew says, preach to every nation. The word is ethnos in the Greek, every ethnicity, every ethnic group of people, you know, every color of skin, every country. And so we are to bring this to all creation, and we are to baptize in his name. I remember doing my first baptism, being a little nervous. I was a young pastor going, what do? I get in the pool, I do what? But then I realized I'm just a representative of Jesus. So you see, that, you know, the question becomes, do you have to be a pastor to baptize? Not really. It's a good thing if you have a church to use a pastor, I guess. But if you're out in the with somebody that they get saved and you're in the forest, you want to baptize them, baptize them. Baptism is, and so whoever believes and is baptized, and the sign will accompany, and he talks about speaking in tongues, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which I've experienced in my life. And I don't go pick up snakes, but if I do encounter snakes or poison, God protects me. And if I do, and I have prayed for sick people, and sometimes they get well, sometimes they don't, but God is able to heal. So we pray for the sick. And it says that they preached, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs and wonders. We don't seek signs and wonders. We preach the word. So signs and wonders will take care of themselves. The signs and wonders will follow. So if I go out and preach Jesus is Lord, and I go in his name because he sent me, then he'll confirm it with his power. His power will come. He will confirm it. If you're being sent by Jesus, he will confirm to those you are preaching to his reality. We need the fullness of the Spirit, church. We're called to preach this resurrection message. Okay? It's not just to comfort us. It should be more than just we are comforted. It should be we have a life or death message. The Bible says that hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire does not quench and the worm does not die. We don't want people to go to hell. We are the ambassadors of Christ, and we are to preach the message that sin is serious. Sin is so serious that God had to give his son and have his son shed his blood for us. Turn now to Luke, the last chapter of Luke 24. Luke 24, I'm going to start reading in verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking he was a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. I like that. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. And he told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continuously at the temple praising God. Again, a different ending. Matthew, Mark, Luke, all a little bit different. Like three people that saw a car accident out here near the 99, and they were standing on a different corner when they saw it. And they describe this. And here Jesus, in this account, in Luke, as he joins them, he shows them his hands and his feet. He eats something, and then he opens their mind to understand the scripture. And he says, wait here. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And when I fill you with the Holy Spirit, you're going to preach this message to everyone. You're going to be my witnesses. And so you think of your Christian experience, of you. God, you met Jesus, and you began to understand the scriptures. He shows you the scriptures. I hope that you're understanding the scriptures, and you realize, wow, it's all about Jesus. You know, he probably told, like, Isaiah 53, you know, he was pierced for our transgressions. That's about me, you see. Psalm 22, they have pierced my hands and feet. That's about me. Zechariah 9:9, riding on a donkey. That's about me. All of it points to me. Micah 5:2, I would be born in Bethlehem. That's about me. Psalm 16, like I already mentioned, the Holy One will not see decay. He opened their mind. They said, wow, this book is about the Messiah. It's about sin and a Savior who dies and rises from the dead. And they understand it. I get it. I get it. Adam and Eve sinned. I sinned. The world is under the power of the devil. I get it. And God sent his Son to rescue me. And he died for me. And then he rose from the dead. And because of my faith, my sins are forgiven and I have eternal life. I get it. And then he says, here, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we already have the Spirit, but he said, I want you to have a power of the Spirit. I want to come upon you in Acts chapter 1. Oh, Lord, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I've got the Scripture. I've got the Holy Spirit. God has a great commission. Go and preach. Go and be my witnesses. Acts 1:8 says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. So CIF, God has a mission for us in 2020. And I don't know where we're going to end up. We're not going back, to my knowledge. We're not planning to ever go back to the, where we meet before. Guild. The community guild. We're not going to go back to that. So I don't know if we're going to, you know, how this is going to work. Whether we're going to meet in homes or we're going to get a facility. I have no idea. All I know is one day at a time. But we are still a church. And each of us in this church, together in this church, has a response to the Easter message, which is, yes, I'm risen. Now go tell people. That's what it says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And let's go to the last chapter, John now. Turn to John. Let's see what John says at the very end about the resurrection. John chapter 21. John 21. Actually, John 20 and 21. You remember the story of Thomas back in chapter 20? Thomas, you know, he wasn't there. He missed the fellowship one time, and he when Jesus showed up, he didn't see him. If you miss fellowship, you can miss some very important things.
Yes.
Like, you know, if you're not here, you know, you might not miss next Sunday. You know, maybe, you know, so we need to be there in fellowship. So anyway, look at verse 26. Thomas is doubting. And so John 20, verse 26, John 20, verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. That's you right now. That's you. Touch yourself right here. That's me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I've never seen Jesus physically risen. Have you? I've never had him appear in my living room in bodily form, but I believe. So I'm more blessed than Thomas. In Amplified Bible, has it, blessed rather are those who have not seen and yet have believed. It's a special blessing for your faith in Jesus Christ. And so chapter 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. I love this chapter. This is going to be our final thing. I'll be fast with it. But this, I did a sermon once a few years ago. I remember Don Johnson was still there. It's called Breakfast with Jesus. And the name of this sermon, if you want to, this is my favorite sermon about resurrection. It's called Breakfast with Jesus, because listen to this. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, which, by the way, that word means probably the twin. Some people think it was a twin. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you, they said. So they went out, they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So here's Peter. He's probably kind of discouraged. You know, he's kind of denied Christ three times. He's not sure. He's seen Jesus risen, but he doesn't know what to do. And he says, I'm going back to fishing. That's what I'm good at. You know, he goes fishing. And because he's an influential guy, a bunch of them go with him. Now, verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. How many times is Jesus standing there? We don't realize it. And he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? What do you call them? He called them what? Friends. That's what he calls us. No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Wow. Okay. All right. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. You know, sometimes we're fishing and not getting anywhere, and Jesus says, put it over there. Wham, jackpot. God has plans for us. God can open doors that no man can shut. And God told me, just wait. Doors will open. It's because you're not seeing it now. I want to say this again. Be here for the book of Esther next week. Behind the scenes, God is working. This coronavirus thing, you're in your living room probably wondering, you know, what are you, you know, eating too much like me and all that. but there's still something happening. We're all have an assignment. Be listening, because you're going to hear, throw the net over there. You're going to hear that in some way. And then when the disciple whom Jesus loved saw this, he said, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon people heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him. He jumped in the water. You got to love Peter. He's, you know, Peter, I'm not waiting. I'm swimming. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from shore, about 100 yards. They landed, which means Peter was a pretty good swimmer, by the way, 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the fish net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. That's such an exceptional catch of big fish. They counted them. Look, Peter, we got 153. The net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave it to them and did the same thing with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Third time after, raised from the dead, raised from the dead. Look for that phrase in the book of Acts. Count the times. This is the message of the New Testament. Picture this scene. You're on the Sea of Galilee. First of all, I love beaches, don't you? The Sea of Galilee is very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Just saw some pictures again. I've been there twice. And on that beach, as they come in, swim 100 yards, pull the boat in, Jesus already has made a fire. Jesus has already got breakfast waiting for them. Come and have breakfast. God does that in the morning. He says, sit down, have a cup of coffee, have your Bible open, have your notebook, meet with me. God wants to meet with us. And we have met the risen Christ. He's alive. I met with him this morning. He's here. He's alive. And as we meet with them, we have intimacy with him. We know it's him. And immediately they take a walk after that. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, there's, and then he says, he tells me how he's going to die. Listen, you've heard this before, but I'll remind you. In the Greek, Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me sacrificially? And Peter answered in the Greek word phileo, which is a different word for love. He says, yes, Lord, I love you. Phileo, I'm fond of you. Okay, feed my sheep. Second time, Jesus said, do you sacrificially love me? Agape. And Peter says, Lord, I'm fond of you. Phileo. He says, okay, take care of my lambs. The third time, Jesus uses the same Greek word, phileo. He meets Peter on his own terms. He says, Peter, okay, are you even fond of me? I think Peter's no longer sure he can sacrificially love. He's failed. Agape is a tough word. If you study 1 Corinthians 13, that's a very high standard. But he keeps, I'm fond of you, Lord, as a friend. I love you as a brother. I'm phileo. And so Jesus says, okay, if you phileo me, if you can even have that, if you have affection for me, Peter, that's good enough. We'll work with that. I know you're not able to do it perfectly, but I'll work with, if you're affectionate toward me, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now that's a pastor's calling right there, but it's a calling for all of us. It's a calling for all of us. You've seen me, you've encountered me, I'm risen. You had breakfast with me on the beach. By faith, you've seen me. We've encountered Jesus. You know he's changed your life. I know he's changed my life. Has it been rough? Yes. Are there periods where he seems far away and all those kind of things? Yeah. But I know he's real. And so do you. Now, we have a great commission. Go and make disciples. Go preach to all creation. You know, he opens our minds to understand the scripture. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He makes us breakfast. And then he says, now, feed my sheep. All of us who are Christians should be making disciples. There's probably someone you know that is younger than you in the Lord. They're a newer Christian. Make disciples of them. Janet was teaching the children this morning. That's making a disciple. Now, of course, Joe and Jane teach their own daughters, but the Sunday school teacher is the one who reinforces that, you know? That's a form of making a disciple. And just like, you know, Renavia and Eliam, they're being taught by Marlia and their grandparents, but Janet shows up as the Sunday school teacher and she reinforces that faith. And so all of us are making disciples of other. So there must be someone you know that you can sort of help them know the Bible better. Maybe they're a little bit younger in the Lord. Help them. Now there's others that know more than you and they can disciple you. We're always, you know, help. Nobody's better than anybody, but we are discipling each other. Go and make disciples. Help people to know Jesus. Preach the word. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The central message of the book of Acts is the resurrection. The good news of eternal life, forgiveness, victory over the grave, victory over sin, victory over Satan. I want to read something to you in closing. This was just something that was in my thoughts and my personal devotion. I was sitting before the Lord this morning and I was going, Lord, what's happening? I'm in this coronavirus. I'm supposed to move from one house to another. Why am I moving to a rental? I like this acre. Now I sold it. What's happening? Did I make a mistake here? Are we messed up? And this is what God said to me. This is for you too. First of all, he said, Roger, because of your faith in Jesus, this is for you too. You are forgiven. You are justified. You are set free. You are a recipient of my grace, my mercy, and my peace. Christ is the end of the law that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. We've been set free, people. We're not serving in a legal code. We're serving the path of faith. God is at work. Just listen. God is at work behind the scenes right now, working for the good of his people. God loves you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. God is doing something bigger. Listen to this. God is doing something bigger than any of us can see or understand. You don't know what the coronavirus is doing right now. I don't either. It's changing nations. It's affecting the world. But God is on the throne, and he's doing something bigger than any of us can understand. But I know God is. I know it's good. He's drawing many to salvation right now around the world. This very day, this very Easter day, people are getting saved. He is purifying the faith of the church. He's strengthening your faith and mine. He is repositioning and shaping us like pieces on a chessboard. I play chess. And he's moving us around, and his strategy is perfect. It's a winning strategy. Don't be afraid. He is with you. He is watching over you for good and not for harm. He has secured eternity for his children. Our light and momentary afflictions are not worth comparing with the glory that awaits us. We live by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. We see the invisible. Final word. You have a part to play. No matter how small you may think it is, stay connected to Jesus. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. John chapter 15. You have a part to play. God has something for each of us to do in these last days. Queen Esther, we will see, God spent a lifetime getting her to do 3 minutes worth of work to go walk into a king and ask for to save the Jews. God's going to use you. He's not done with you yet. He has a purpose for you. Christ is risen from the dead. You are forgiven. You have eternal life, and you have an assignment. You have an assignment. It's called the Great Commission. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Christ is risen from the dead, and that, Lord, we have a purpose. We have a purpose. We've been born again. Of an imperishable seed, the living and enduring word of God. You've given us the Holy Spirit, and he is a deposit guaranteeing the things to come. Oh, Father, we worship you. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. We thank you for calling us friend and showing us where to throw the net. Lord, you know just what you're doing. You know when to prune on a tree, and you know when to make that tree bring fruit again. And in this time, Lord, we're all being pruned on a little bit. We're being shaped. But, Lord, there will be seasons ahead of much fruit. We believe your coming is near. So help us to abide in you, to stay in the Word every day, and to pray in our homes. Sanctify our homes, our marriages. Father, we love you. And I pray your blessing on CIF and the sheep that are part of this church family. You fulfill your purpose. We thank you most of all for the Easter message that Christ is risen from the dead. So I pray your blessing now upon your church, our church family, this very Sunday, this day, and this week ahead. God, we love you and praise you, and bring you glory as we pray for our president, our nation, and Lord, just our assignment, the direction of our land. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.